The following program has been furnished and paid by Nathan P. Ross, CPA, and KSEV is not responsible for its content or the products or services offered.
Welcome to the Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, a show that helps you learn how planners can generate significantly more wealth now. Nathan will answer your questions about business or personal finance, or how to increase current cash flows and generate retirement savings to make sure you're on the right path, and so much more. Whatever your financial goal, Nathan can get you there faster. And now, here's your host, Nathan Ross.
Welcome to this week's Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, and Dan DuBose has also joined me here on the show today. Once again, Dan, are you there? Dan, are you online? Oh, okay. In any event, Dan will catch up to us here shortly. I think they've got him parked on the wrong phone line there at the station. But I want to go ahead and clear out our disclaimer that we normally have at the top of the show, which is you're going to hear things today that may surprise you, may please you, may scare you, etc. Don't move forward in any of those directions if there's interest without checking with your existing advisors that understand your personal facts and circumstances. I know we say this time and again, but I just can't emphasize how important that is, and especially in today's times. And, you know, there's things that happen where, you know, you don't really understand what you think you do, or a rule has changed, et cetera. And so we are happy to consider working with you. If you'll go to our website, if you don't have advisors or you don't have advisors that understand real estate private partnership syndications or, you know, zero tax math or retirement plan taxation, etc., or even real estate tax, you know, most of the public, I think, thinks that we CPAs know all the rules about every industry, and we absolutely don't. You know, I don't do retail, for instance. I do no manufacturing clients, and you know, if you came to me with those issues, I've likely got resources that we could steer you to. But you know, if you come to us with a real estate issue or a retirement plan issue, or you're wanting to invest in these real estate partnerships, wonderful. We're happy to work with you. In any event, for those of you that might be interested, you can go to our website at beaplanner.com. That's BEAPLANNER.com. And you can complete there at the top right. You'll see links to some forms, and then right next to it, a link to our call scheduler, and you're more than welcome to take advantage of our willingness to speak with you about your specifics, your objectives, your dreams, etc., and tell you how we might be able to sync up. I want to talk about a couple of news items before we go too far that find interesting. Well, I say I do. I find a lot of things interesting that you may not. You may not care about the rate that Americans kept piling money into their 401ks in spite of the market tanking last year. It's always interesting to see these kind of stories because kind of gives you a feeling for where, you know, investor sentiment is, even if it's not you know, with respect to real estate. But you know, there was according to Vanguard, 90% of investors in the 401k style retirement plans administered by Vanguard maintained or increased their savings rate in 2022. Trading activity fell to a two-decade low among participants who manage their own investments, according to Vanguard. Last year was tumultuous for stocks, with the S&P falling the most for the year since 2008. 15 years, the biggest drop with the S&P. And in spite of that, Vanguard's clients continued to invest and actually increased their investment. The rate went from basically 2.1% up to 3%, which that's almost a 50% jump, pretty significant. And they may not have been putting their money into the stock market per se. I'm sure there's a lot of cash represented here, which, I don't know. Most 401 accounts that are in cash right now have still lost purchasing power. Now, you may argue, well, that'll come back. Well, maybe. But I would suggest the best way for it to come back is for you to put the money, take the money out of your big company 401 and consider putting it in real estate private partnerships that continue to outperform the general market. And, we've see transactions. I just got another email from a client today that indicated, I'm in a transaction currently that's going to exit this year. We're going to get a big check. I want to say is about three times what he had invested. And we still see that, not every day of the week, but it's not an infrequent occurrence. But in any event, simultaneous to this Wall Street Journal article I just mentioned about continuing to invest. These are both Wall Street Journal articles. Same day, just to show you the conflicted nature of the news cycle. At the same time, Americans are continuing to plow money into their 401s. There's also an article about Americans are drawing from their 401ks on an emergency basis to cover expenses. And so I guess it all depends on which window into the same room you might be looking at. But in any event, it's interesting to see that you got it coming and going. And I don't know that Vanguard again says that hardship withdrawals hit a record level. 2.8% of 5 million people in their plans. This is the plans that Vanguard administers actually took emergency distributions. That's up 2.1% from 2021. Pretty significant when you understand the ramifications of doing that. And I think most advisors, we tend to feel similarly. That's really the last place you want to take money out, unless you can get it back in fairly easily. Like take a loan first, because then when you do have to pay it back, but you're paying yourself back, and you pay yourself back. If you're in a big plan with a large employer, you can pay it back out of payroll so that, it happens automatically. So in any event, but for those that don't have room in the budget to repay a loan, then you probably have no choice but to take a hardship loan. I guess I'm wanting to, Dan, did you ever get back on? And it didn't seem like they got you connected. Doesn't sound like it. Well, no worries. Oh, there you are. Good, good. Technology being what it is, huh?
Yeah.
Dan, I'm not sure if you were able to hear, I covered a couple of the 401 K articles. Did you have any, there were multiple real estate articles this week about trends and rental rates and occupancy rates, growth rates, et cetera. Did you have anything
I think one of the things that's kind of interesting about what you were talking about with the 401k and such is that, you know, money in, money out is inflation, of course, in 22 really got lit up big. You know, that may be one reason why people are having money coming out of the 401k, the 401 not making as much money as they needed it to, possibly the inflation being, you know, it's coming down truly. We've seen that happen, but the interest rate is going up, so it's costing more to buy houses, costing more to buy cars, costing more for emergency help you need. I heard one guy said that, I forget the exact percentage, it was a big number, said many of the, I think it was three-quarters of the population, 74, 75%, couldn't meet a $400 emergency fund need today. That's a good reason to have to go into your 401 to get some emergency money that they're talking about. That's a big number when you think about the number of people that can't meet a $400 emergency need. It's just mind-boggling to me. In the richest country in the world.
Yeah, it's, you know, we see those stories from time to time, and it does kind of make you realize there's a lot of have-nots in the U.S. in spite of its wealth, right?
Amen.
Anyway, I was just looking here. I saw an article that I wanted to see. It was about Phoenix. You know, Phoenix is an area that we've got quite a few clients that have invested in, and I guess the general news out of Phoenix, if you look at most of the you know, white paper type groups that report, is that it's got a crisis in terms of pricing. You know, they're starting to see prices fall, and still trying to find this. But anyway, it's basically saying not so fast. Phoenix is not as bad off as some are making it seem. And in fact, we've got a couple transactions right now that we're reviewing for clients. And I will say that there doesn't seem to be, at least on these couple properties, there doesn't seem to be much of a crisis there. But it's all, you know, it all matters as to where you're invested or investing, not what the whole market or submarket may be seeing. And I think in general, Phoenix has come down a notch, but it's still one of the more attractive markets or submarkets, however you want to consider that. Let's see here. Dan, any tax news this week that we need to be aware of?
Taxes are going up, we think.
Well, I was gonna ask you how much Biden's new plans are gonna affect anybody we work with. I'm not sure. The definition of a billionaire these days is somewhat murky. They always talk about the billionaire class as if it's way above middle class America. And yet, once you read the rules that are designed to catch the billionaire class, you realize, well, wait a minute, that's going to catch a, quote, small business owner that happens to do well. Because what you know, the administration figured out during their Build Back Better attempts is that, you know, billionaires know how to play the low tax reporting game as well. It's like, you know, they can take loans. They don't have to take income, right? And so unless the government uses a low enough threshold on revenues, maybe, or on a company that a billionaire controls, they don't quite catch them. And I haven't seen any details at this moment on that proposal. And of course, you know, we're going to go after the corporate taxpayers as if they don't mind paying taxes. And you and I aren't affected by that, are we, Dan? Are we ever affected by that? curious.
Excuse me.
Well, the point I was going to make, I'll let you recover there, is it always affects the customers of a company that sells a product or service when their taxes go up. And if you think differently, you know, that's a very naive understanding of how the economy works. And at base, the middle class is going to get socked with the biggest chunk of any tax increase, no matter how you want to slice it. It's just a question of semantics when you look at how the calculations flow down to the bottom. You know, I was noticing one article I kind of set to the side that it ties back into Phoenix. There's a hotel, one of the Biltmore branded properties in Phoenix. Dan, do you have any idea what hotel units in that area are still trading at? It's insane. Over $400,000 a door or a unit is what that property was just sold for. $67 million. That is unbelievable. And I can remember not too long ago, well, I don't know, I might be a little bit off the point there. I think it was about 12, maybe 13 years ago. There was a Marriott out in the Woodlands that sold for $150,000 a unit. And I remember shaking my head at the time thinking, how in the world do you make money when you pay that much for a hotel? And, of course, the Marriott's not the Biltmore, right? But this is, you know, this is amazing, the resilience of the commercial market. And I, you know, we don't get involved in hotels often. You know, I personally do have a couple of boutique hotels in San Antonio, or we refer to them as that. They're primarily 30-day or greater corporate housing, and then we do some STR, short-term rentals as well, like Airbnb and Booking.com, Expedia, all that group. But, you know, I just marvel at, you know, these groups that, and I guess there's a lot of private equity here, and maybe they're just looking for a safe play. Although I've never thought the hospitality, especially when COVID hit, I mean, there's properties. I noticed when I was back in Houston the last couple months, there are a lot of properties that still haven't reopened or they're rebranding. And likewise here in Southeast Asia, I mean, there's big hotel operations that have not come back, and I don't know if they're coming back or if they're taking, a few of them are taking the opportunity to either rebrand or renovate, etc. But in any event, it's this is a lot of money to pay and still make money. Let's see, let's find one more. The loan volume. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I didn't say anything.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I thought I heard you on the line, down the line. You know, Austin is a market that we look at projects in quite frequently. I believe we had one last week. By the way, for those of you that were looking, last week's show did not get recorded, unfortunately. So that's why we're doing a special makeup show today, and KSEV was gracious to offer to do that. But I believe we talked about an Austin transaction last week, didn't we, Dan? Or do you recall? Or on their Sunday show, which is our normal time.
I remember now talking Austin. I don't remember what day it was, Nathan. I've slipped since then, sorry.
Well, you know, Goldman Sachs, this article, this is out on CRE News, Commercial Real Estate News. They're projecting or predicting a real estate crash in Austin. Well, you know, welcome to the club. I think there's a lot of people that are projecting Austin's going to suffer, as in this article. It says they're one of four cities that will suffer a 2008-like crash in home values. Phoenix, San Diego, San Jose, and Austin. So there Phoenix is again. But the title of the article is Goldman Sachs is predicting a real estate crash in Austin not so fast, same as with Phoenix. And, you know, the general understanding, or at least according to these folks, is that you're not, you know, effectively going to see it from top to bottom like you may have back in 2008. I know I was just talking to a gentleman here overseas that runs one of the most successful American style or Western restaurants that I frequent, and he's got two sons that graduated A&M last couple years. One of them just graduated, and they're one of the sons is buying a condo in Austin that I can't remember the square footage on it, but it wasn't huge, and it was a $500,000 buy, and it was somewhere there in the Arboretum area. And I just remember thinking, you know, I guess, and he did say that they had reduced the price of that condo by $100,000 just because they had a real qualified buyer. Although, you know, again, you're talking about a kid that's been out of college for a couple of years. And yeah, I guess it just goes to show the mortgage companies need to do deals. There are a lot fewer commercial loans, I assume. Well, I know there's a lot fewer residential loans as well. So I found it remarkable. And of course, I also find it remarkable anytime I hear someone that age is willing to commit to a housing purchase that large. I guess everybody thinks it's going up. And if it you know, Austin is probably the one place in Texas historically that you might have that mindset. But I don't know. Still a lot of people moving in. So I guess that's the potential safety net there. But anyway.
Yeah, one of the articles we talked about in the past, or recent past, is Austin had a, I think the number was like 13% rental increase.
Yeah.
And that's incredibly significant, I believe. And now you're talking about home prices coming down. So, wow, that's quite a contrast in itself, isn't it?
There sure is. Sure is some conflicting data. Another article here about McKinney, Texas, just to show you the strength of that area. $113 million multifamily build is getting ready to start. It's got, let's see, it's a rental community with 90 townhomes being part of the mix, 335 units total. It's going to include 240 multifamily dwelling units, 1, 2, and 3 bedrooms, 5 multifamily buildings ranging from 3 to 4 stories. 95 separate townhomes. It'll sit on 25 acres. It's not a new build. It's currently occupied by a nonprofit, former home of the Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals of Texas facility. And, there is going to be, I take it back, I thought I'd seen some construction. There is going to be some demo and new buildings. Hey, I hear the music for the break we're coming up to. We'll return in a few minutes with more of the Be A Planner syndication math show with Nathan Ross and Dan DuBose.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195, 713-581-0195, or you can send an email to Nathan
at npross.com. Nathan at npross.com.
The Syndication Math Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, focuses exclusively on helping investors understand the current options for investing. The syndication arena has changed. You can now take advantage of direct online investing options without expensive upfront membership fees. Nathan Ross, CPA, discusses these options and more, including the math involved with partnership selection, reporting, and performance. On the Syndication Math Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, Sundays at 7 a.m. right here on KSEV.
Okay, welcome back to this week's Be a Planner show with Nathan Ross, CPA. And I have my associate Dan DuBose on the show today, as usual. And we've been talking about assorted real estate news. One last mention that I didn't get a chance to say there before the break. There's a, I guess we've talked about Austin. We should mention a project in Houston. It's a $43 million new build senior apartments, which I will suggest you're going to see more and more of these transactions. This one's not something you can invest in, but it's just showing the trend. And I am seeing syndications that are available for folks to invest in, because this senior market, as you can expect, with the baby boomer generation retiring now and have been for quite some time, we'll see more and more. This is an affordable class property, 157 unit. It's coming to the Cy Fair area, outside of Houston, of course. West Sam Houston Parkway, generally expected to open in 2024, and it's a partnership. This is the only thing that always gives me pause, with a developer and the Harris County Housing Authority. And
watch out.
Yeah, I don't want to get in to some of their problems. Let's just say sometimes they have some related politico connections involved that they get publicity for. Notoriety would be better. And in any event, this is being tag-teamed with, appears, a local church. It's on the same property as a local church, and apparently this was part of the founding pastor's master plan more than 20 years ago. And so this is being built, Dan. You'll be happy to know this, as it's on property that's been described, the land, as the last miracle on the Beltway, quote unquote. And anyway, the bishop, the good bishop, has, I think, a vision, obviously, if he's waited it out 20 years. It's interesting the timing is now. I guess maybe they've, you know, been able to generate the relevant interest with the housing authority. And it's not necessarily a bad thing. It's just, you know, there's been so many issues happen where, you know, we had projects announced and the Harris County was counting on certain funding from the federal, HUD, that either did or did not happen as planned, and it puts projects in a pickle. So I don't know. I hope they've got it figured out. But the amenities is like it's akin to a Class A apartment: a club room, activity room, media center, private event suite, fitness center, business center, and a pool. Everything but the Bark Park, right, Dan? I guess you got
to
leave your
retirees like dogs.
Hey, let me tell you, I'm not going anywhere. My little Pomeranian can't go, or I won't know what to do since he runs the family, right? But in any event, okay, well, Dan, let's pivot and talk about a couple syndications. We've got a, I believe one is a Florida project, Tampa area, and the other is what, Houston or Dallas? I can't remember. Which one
Dallas
do you want to pick up?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, which one you want to pick up first?
The Florida would be the, we got two to talk about. There is two properties that's combined into one offering. They've got
Yeah, which SEC section is this one offered under?
So we're there, a B, 506B.
Okay, great. So we you know, it's too late if you're not already connected. Either whether you're accredited or non-accredited, unless you're already connected to that syndicator, it's too late for you to invest in it. So don't get any ideas. But it'll be one that if you understand what little we're going to go into today, it'll help you the next time you see one. And if you're interested in investing in these transactions, you can definitely connect with the syndicator. Happy to provide you that information at some point if you'll give us some information about yourself. But in any event, one of these properties or one of these projects, and I think it's the Tampa one we're getting ready to discuss, it is a membership exclusive platform that it's offered on. So you would have to join that membership, that old school membership platform, one that we talk about frequently and lovingly. We like the platform. We do point out its moles, if you will. It's not perfect, and it's a great mousetrap for newbies if you're non-accredited, because they only allow allow 506B transactions. However, if you're accredited, you've got better options, and you might be surprised to learn that you can invest without being members of this group with their most prolific investor, their self-made billionaire, as the self-made millionaire founder and show host likes to call him. And, of course, there's a little some play on words there with calling people billionaires or saying they own nine bazillion doors, you know, apartment units, when maybe they are a 0.008 of or maybe 0.8 of 1% owner. And, you know, this is in spite of your training that you're going to hear if you were to join that organization that talks about you really shouldn't try to appear to be something you're not. Well, there's a little bit of doublespeak that goes on with this group, and you just have to be either really, really savvy to figure it out, or you need to work with someone like us, where I was a member of that group for many years. I was their very first vendor in their vendor program. I know whereof they speak, and I'm going to tell you, it's a credible organization, but boy, do they have a way of recasting reality sometimes and telling you you know, what to do with retirement money and things like that. And so you really want some independence. We're happy to work with you and steer you through the channel, so to speak, and help you take advantage. In fact, I would say help you exploit their program instead of you being exploited, which will happen if you're not careful. Anyway, go ahead, Dan, with that little backdrop.
This is a total of just over $60 million. It's quite the offering, I believe, with $220,000 per unit. They're buying it at about 6 or 8% off of what was being asked for it. So it does have some debt. It's got some good, I guess I could say, good debt in place, in that it's got a 2.88% interest rate, which is very nice in today's market, maybe half of what you could get an agency loan. It's about half that. It is fixed at 2.88% and 5 years interest only. You know, got a very aggressive rental increase again Yeah, there's two properties, and they both run about the same rental increase. Still capping at a very low cap rate, I believe, using 4.5%. You know, even a 0.5% move in that could change this deal, $2 million, numbers I calculated on just one of the properties. I mean, that to me is very significant. You know, if you increase your cap rate, you're going to lose $2 million in value. You know, that's significant, I believe. I mean, we're looking at 3 or 4 years out with that number.
Yeah.
So, good operation. They're going to increase their rent, but they also increase expenses, of course. But the rent increase is well offsetting the expense increase so that they do have good value. But it's and it's only about $1 million. I think it's $1 million per property. Yeah, a total of $2 million they're putting into CapEx to renovate. It is
What's the construction age, roughly, Dan? Do you recall? I think it's mid
in the early 80s, I believe it was.
Well, I just found it. It's 86 and 87. So, you know, they
B or B plus.
Well, I think, yeah. I mean, once they get done, certainly.
Yeah.
Concrete block construction, condo conversion to apartments on one of them. The second property is a wood frame construction. The amenity class is maybe not quite what an A class property would offer, but you know, swimming pools with outdoor kitchens, fitness center, playgrounds, and a bark park or fenced dog park. I don't know if smart home packages, that's probably about the only thing I don't see on the list that might be something that would generate additional NOI, maybe some valet trash service. I don't know. Maybe they're doing that. They're just not telling you, although those typically can be nice little bumps or provide nice little bumps in NOI. As you said, they think the rents are below market. And by the way, this syndicator has been to the finish line before. I'm not sure about in the Tampa area, but I know in general in Florida. So they do have a understanding of the market. These properties, in spite of, well, maybe because they're under market, you know, anytime I see a property that's going to have some value add component and they're already 90% occupied, that's a pretty good indicator that the rents are under market. And they say they're 15% below. Is that what you said, Dan? It may have been.
I don't remember saying the percentage. I do know they do say that they are under market. Yeah.
Yeah.
But the increase in rent over 3 years, 27%, but 9% per year. So,
well, 2022 for that area showed 23% rental growth. The Tampa area is the second net relocation destination in the country and the third wage and rent market in the country. I think we've seen it on some of the lists we've talked about lately. Let's see. They're assuming an average $250 increase from current in-place rents. In 2022, there was 23% rent growth, and the projections for 2023 is 12%. So I don't know if that's because 2022 was so good or because things are tightening a bit here in 2023. In any event, the overall occupancy rate for the submarket, Dan, is 95%. So it sounds like they might actually get there, right? If you've got that few supply, you've got an enormous influx of people, and you're sitting on units that may not be A or Class A units, but they're probably at least a strong B, maybe I guess the number of years they've been around probably keeps them in that B class, but you know, maybe for a B plus, I'm thinking. And
yeah, they're using a 9% economic vacancy, so it's, you know, they're being very conservative on that, I think, from what you just said.
Yeah. Well, and the Tampa MSA added almost 70,000 jobs last year with 60% projected growth in the high wage professions, which I've forgotten what all those jobs are, but let's just say it's not necessarily the restaurant business, which I think if you understand the current jobs numbers, we're seeing a pretty heavy component that relates to the hospitality and restaurant business. I believe that's correct. Dan, are you reading the same thing, I guess, or am I
misinterpreting? Yeah, you know, it's just because people are wanting to get out more. So, you know, they're still hiring people here in Houston area. I know for sure there's signs everywhere to waiters needed. So the hospitality is still hiring, no doubt about that.
So the potential to increase the rent past the pro forma numbers that they're using here, they're trying to be conservative. In fact, they're claiming their underwriting doesn't even include some of the rental increase, but it's simply the market, the strength of the market, and the location combination that's going to give them a chance to exceed or over deliver. My takes, if I had to list them quickly, it would be the one negative is that cap rate. And as you said, Dan, if it even ticks up a small amount, you're going to potentially have a lot less cash coming to the bottom line that goes out to investors.
And yeah, you know, I just noticed this. They've got rental, you know, average rent is like $2,000 per unit. That's at year three.
Well, it would have to be. yeah, it would have to be if you're paying the price they are to acquire them. So the exit cap is, to me, the biggest weakness. The strengths are location, 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 asset quality, and ability, you know, under market rents. And then I've got to think the syndicator has, you know, credibility since they've done this before. And I'll tell you, the credibility of the syndicator is something that is increasingly important these days. You have to remember that the syndication market is literally unregulated. I mean, there are no regulators focusing specifically on this niche. You give your money to literally a stranger in most cases. You usually don't know who you're dealing with. Now, this particular platform, I think one of the benefits of it is that you do have the chance to meet and become friendly, quote unquote, with the syndicator. And in fact, you'll probably have a chance to tour the property, and you get consistent reporting from this group. And so from the syndicator that's in this group, the syndicators. And so there are some good reasons to like them. On the other hand, it's not necessarily what I would call the major leagues when you look at some of the other platforms out there, like CrowdStreet and Realty Mogul, et cetera. And, the significant layer of vetting that comes into play with those platforms is a reason to try to, at least if you do want to join a quote local club, you want to have some other options. And the CrowdStreet group has been around for a long time, as has this local platform. I shouldn't act like they haven't, but it tends to be more top shelf, fully vetted by, you know, real estate syndication professionals. And, not to say that mom and pop can't make a lot of money with the right properties. They do. But don't be fooled by all the radio hype that you'll hear with the local platform. you know, when you look at the vast number of their syndicators, they are not being interviewed on the radio. And the reason is they didn't hit the proverbial grand slam. They may not have hit a double. And in this market, when you've got rising mortgage reserve requirements and you've got cap rates that are higher than what people did on their pro forma, that's sucking the cash out, you know, there's outcomes that don't quite line up with the rhetoric. And so you really have to be careful and understand whether or not the assumptions, the purchase price, you know, Dan alluded to, you know, $221,000 a unit. When you're paying that kind of money for units that are, what, Dan, 40 years old? Am I doing the math right?
No, just 30, 35. Hey, yeah, it is 40. You're right.
I was gonna say last time I checked. But anyway, the point is, I'm not saying that those units aren't worth that. I'm just saying it kind of puts the stress on the rent levels and the expense levels for you to achieve your objective. And yet again, like you pointed out, Dan, $2,000 a unit in rent, monthly rent, that's a big deal. Okay, let's move to the second property that we have on the list. And, again, is that a Houston transaction? Where is
it's Dallas area.
That one? Oh, it's Dallas area. Okay, great. And how many units, Dan, is that one?
It is a total of, I had that number written down, so I've gone it.
It's not a huge property, if I recall.
No, it's an $8 million fundraise, so it's not big. That's the other one we were talking about.
Golly. Let's see here. I was looking. Let's see if I had that handy.
128.
Okay. Okay. And it is a 506B as well. Okay. And when was it constructed?
1980. So it is almost 43 years old.
And if it's in Dallas, is there a
Dallas area? It's south and west of Dallas.
Okay, so it's not it's not Tampa, Florida, certainly.
No,
right? But
yeah, they're buying it at about half the price of the Tampa, Florida property, 120 a unit. So.
Yeah, well, there you go, and that may or may not be rational, right? There may not be a good reason when you look at the relative comparison, but what are the rent levels at that one, Dan? Curious.
Rent. You know, the 2263 divided by 128. What's that? Do that one in your head.
Let me get my calculator up here. 2 million. What was it?
263 in year three.
Divided by how many?
128.
It's about well, can't be that much. Oh, yeah, I guess I got to divide it, but yeah. Give me the number again. I'm sorry. 2,263 divided by 128.
Divided by 12.
So sub $1,500 a unit. So that's, I guess, what you might expect. What's the anticipated or pro forma on the rent increase, Dan?
They're looking at 8% per year, roughly.
So about the same as the Tampa deal. Do you think the area we're talking about can sustain that? Do we have any market?
They said that area has a 14.4% increase in rent over the last year. So rent increases of 14.4. That's significant, isn't it?
Well, it is. In Dallas,
can they increase more? Can they increase that 8%?
Yeah, that's always the question. Is the glass half empty or half full on that front?
Yep.
And location, again, is key. And I'm trying to remember what's close to this thing that's going to drive. I mean, of course, it's being pitched as a conservative value add property. And this is the classic, if you see the images, it is the classic 1980s, early 1980s build, you know, two-story units.
Fairly low density, which is nice. You know, that part is very presentable.
Yeah, I was just seeing where it's located. So it's a convenient spot that offers rapid access to extensive industrial and distribution jobs in the I-20 corridor, while sitting apart from a denser concentration of multifamily further north. I'm not sure why that's a plus, but we'll set that to the side for a minute. The description of current ownership having neglected upgrades to keep up with the market, that's what this space is all about. I mean, it's amazing how these assets trade from time to time, and that what syndicators all come to realize at some point is that it's easier for them to go get a loan to buy something that somebody else has neglected when it comes to upgrades, deferred maintenance, et cetera, than it is for them to go get the same loan on a property they already own. It's amazing how we see that played out over and over. And so, in any event, supposedly neglecting the upgrades has caused the current owner to have rental losses and holding back, you know, this asset from its potential. Dan, what's the exit cap being promoted here? You have that handy?
1.9 or 1.99, I'm sorry, or 2.12, depending on whether you're an A or a B investor.
Yeah, that's the equity multiple. Do you have the exit cap rate? Because I'm curious how that equity multiple might be.
You know, I don't have an exit cap rate. They do have what they call an operating cap rate. What would that be to cap rate? The same thing.
I'm not certain. What are they showing the operating cap rate to be?
At year one, 5.26. Year three, 7.72.
Okay. Well, I think that may be, and that's actually a pretty rational number. So I guess that would be something to consider as you're evaluating the 1.99, which is pretty much on target for what we'd be looking at. Dan, we've got less than a minute left, so we're going to wrap up the show. Once again, enjoy the banter. And we'll be back in the morning, 7 a.m., same station, KSEV AM 700, with a couple more transactions to talk about and maybe a bit more commercial real estate news. Thanks for tuning in, and we look forward to having you join us again tomorrow morning.
Thanks for listening to Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. Be sure to tune in for another edition of Be a Planner Show here on AM 700 KSEV.